You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Chris Lopez here, and we are doing our ninth installment, or our final installment, I should say, as well, for our nine-part series on ADUs. So today, we're actually talking about what the future of ADUs are. So it's going to be a short and sweet episode, recapping a lot of stuff we talked about. But we also want to paint a picture about where ADUs are going and some of the content that we'll be doing in the future as well, because you know, it's going to be fun to see how ADUs evolve with all the zoning changes here in Denver and as people's attitudes change. So I've got Jeff Baker with me as well from ADU for You. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great today. Happy Friday.
Yes. So jump into this. So the future of ADUs, man, what is the future? We know Blueprint Denver. Yes. Sorry to cut you that past recently, but yeah, just tell us about the future.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the future right now because we've just had Blueprint Denver pass. And so this is going to be the next phase where we really need to get to work and get the zoning codes changed to be easier and more accessible and available in more neighborhoods in the city of Denver. So that's pretty exciting. I am with ADU for You. I'm one of the founders, and we are your modern carriage house builder. We build ADUs, but we also focus a lot on education, obviously, advocacy, and building. We are working to push the ADU movement forward through these efforts, and it is our goal to give homeowners an unexpected and exceptional ADU building experience. And it's kind of interesting. The future has come pretty quick. 2 years ago, really, a lot of people didn't know what ADUs were, but I've found even in the last 6 months that they've been talked about a lot more. And obviously some of the coverage from Denverite and some of the other publications talking about Blueprint Denver and the potential stuff going on has raised awareness around these. But it seems like most people are knowing what they are now. Even from when we started this, I felt like people have become more knowledgeable through over these nine webinars, and not necessarily from the webinars, but I just feel like the buzz is surfacing up. So
yeah, that's interesting. I'm trying to think about that because part of me says it is, but also, you know, we kind of eat, live, and breathe this stuff on a daily basis. How much of it is, hey, because we're doing this on a daily basis? But I would agree with, I think a lot more people are interested in it, especially now since the concept's out there, and as prices keep going more expensive and people look for creative ways to live in cool parts of town. Yeah, I think a lot more people are talking about them.
Yeah, and I'll mention I was at the Denver Planning Board the other day giving some testimony for a different project, but there was a gentleman in there that was going for a spot rezone. And that's probably going to get easier. I'm expecting that to get easier. And it was good that this neighborhood, it's at least proved by Planning Board, and that has a lot to do with Blueprint Denver. And they referenced Blueprint Denver in there, although they did say Blueprint Denver is going to apply to all of these, so we can't keep using that as the reason. But it was exciting to see that they passed. He did a tremendous amount of outreach to the neighborhood, and I've actually got his contact information to kind of talk through that process. That could be a potential future discussion that we have. But
and which neighborhood was this in?
This is in East Colfax.
Okay.
So he had support of the East Colfax Neighborhood Organization, Registered Neighborhood Organization, and he did a ton of outreach to all of his neighbors. He actually had a map. This was pretty cool. A very generic map of the area, hand-drawn, but then he had a little envelope for everybody that got mail, a little conversation bubble for everyone that he spoke with, and the outreach was huge.
Oh, wow.
And he only had one person that had written in against it, and they had a second one coming that day, like the day of his hearing, or maybe the night before his hearing, and a couple other neighbors that came and weren't pro.
How many were? Like, what was their percentage?
I think he had 18-4 and two official against. And then there was two other people that actually spoke against at the things.
So what, about 80% it sounds like the neighborhood for it?
Yeah.
That's a good ratio.
It is a good ratio. And
you'll never get 100%.
No, yeah, you never will. And one of them was from a neighbor that was right next door. And, you know, she's concerned with, it's a small house on the front of the property. He's got a big lot. It's like over 7,000 square foot lot, but it's like a 800 square foot house. And with that lot size, you can build up to 1,000 square foot ADU. So they're concerned with it being bigger, a bigger property or bigger unit on the back of the property that's going to make it look like it's out of place or feel like it's dominating the neighbor's property. But if you think about it, this, you know, we talked about this, I think, in last week's, but they couldn't, the McMansions, and this actually will save a lot of these houses, smaller houses, and will keep more of the character of the neighborhood. So with a house of that size, not too many people in this day and age live in 800 square feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we are seeing a movement towards smaller stuff, but people that are looking for a family house, that's going to be too small.
Yeah.
But if they have the money to buy that and they can scrape it, zoning allows them to go put in the biggest house possible, which might be a 4,000 square foot house on that property. And now that's worse, in my opinion, for the neighbors that live in a similar size 800 square foot house to have this gigantic mansion put up next to them. That's what you get if you don't allow the ADU development.
That's a good point.
And you put the ADU on there, it increases the property value, gives more options for the property, and people are less likely to come in and scrape the whole lot and rebuild. So, and that was actually brought up by the planning board. They said this has been proven to stop the scrapes of these older, smaller bungalows and single-story ranch-style houses. So, and that's been seen in Washington as well. They just released that in that paper that I referenced a few weeks ago. So the future is bright in Denver and in developed cities. This is from Cole Peterson. He's probably the United States expert on all things ADU, and he wrote the book Backdoor Revolution, and he says that in developed cities with affordable housing crisis, dominant single-family zoning, and political support, ADU building should grow. We've talked about that. We have in America 68% on average out of 917 cities larger than 10,000 people, 68% single-family zoning. We have a lot of that zoning in Denver. We have political support, obviously, because it just passed, and we've got an affordable housing crisis. That's it. Everybody is talking about. And so this really, really helps with all those. So those are the things you really need in a city to get this going. So Colorado, specifically in Denver and the Front Range are ripe for this because of what I just mentioned.
Let me ask you this, because I know, you know, again, I'm very Denver focused and everything I do. I don't know much, you know, south, much north of here, like Colorado Springs, Fort Collins, that area. But there's other cities along the Front Range. I mean, are they having similar ADU interest and movements? Kind of what's the definitely scene in the Springs?
They are building some in the Springs. Okay. And there is some areas that are allowed, but there's definitely hiccups and holdups that will hold people in certain areas that aren't zoned for it and whatnot, kind of pockets like you've had in Denver.
Is it? I know a lot of times, like, you know, real estate in general, you know, Denver's like the leading edge of everything.
Yeah.
I'm assuming is Denver the same thing? And then you expect, or can you tell the other cities are going to be a couple years behind and follow suit, do you think?
Yeah, with the exception of Arvada and Englewood, which they passed their laws before Denver did, and they've made it much easier. And their zoning and building departments aren't as bogged down as the Denver. So it is easy. Those are easier cities to build in.
So I got a really random nuanced question for you. So up in Fort Collins, you know, they've got their like UTC plus two zoning code, mm-hmm. which only allows, if you live in the property, two additional non-related people to live with you there. Mm-hmm. And they actually, you know, make you fill out the paperwork and they actually check it out there. Do you know with ADUs how that would affect I think it's UTC plus two code up there?
I'm probably going to have to get that changed, I would imagine, or write something additional. I don't know the exact answer for that. I do know that there's some zoning codes that have that in Denver as well.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to get changed with this new zoning rewrite.
I just know everyone I talked to, Fort Collins is by far the strictest. Like the landlord and the seller actually have to fill out paperwork confirming it, where everything down here is like, as long, you know, people don't really check on it, they're proactive and check on it.
Yeah.
And I've heard people getting caught up there. So I'm just curious how it plays out with AD, which is a completely random question, but...
Yeah, and I'll love to dive into that and see what they're thinking. And that's probably going to be... That probably means that ADUs in Fort Collins will be have some stricter rules to them as well. So, but yeah, so Denver, I think, like you said, will be the leader. I've heard Aurora's talking about excitement around ADUs right now. So yeah, it is going to expand out. You know, and there's been, we've talked about this before, a lot of unpermitted ones. And a lot of people are like, you know, why am I going to go raise a red flag? And I'm just going to do this myself and have people live in it. I spoke to a woman who's recently gotten off, the streets from homelessness, and she's living in a garage. So that's not quite an ADU, but it's basically an unpermitted living space. So yeah, the layout of much of Denver. So having the alleys and the smaller city lots. And then in like Arvada, you've got the bigger lots, which you can put the ranch style, like in the picture here. That's Arvada right there. And that's a big lot that that's on. Does not have alley access. So you access through a side gate, but you can see the yard split in two with a fence down the middle. So you got privacy, private yard for the front house. And then you got private yard for the ADU as well. But yeah, the alleys really help. Another thing we've talked about is alley activation, and they do want entrances in Denver off of the alleys. If you're building on an alley, an ADU on an alley, they do want access from the alley to not block that off. And I'm pro for that too.
Now, you'd mentioned a couple of sons ago, Aurora's picking up some steam around ADUs. What's the chatter or gossip over there?
I think that they're excited, and they're like, this could be a good option for Aurora as well.
Because I know they've done a whole different, like, kind of last, you know, while now, rezoning and of Aurora's. Do you know if ADUs are part of that, or is that just starting to come up in the conversation?
I haven't dug deep into their ADU laws, but that could be another, maybe we'll come and do peripheral cities on another talk or something like that.
Yeah, because they're a huge,
we've really huge been
part
focused
of
on
the metro area.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where a lot of the growth is going as well. And it's a little bit more affordable, but still it's not. There's still a lot of expensive stuff in Aurora.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's, I think that, you know, you got Arvada, Englewood that really jumped on board. They've seen what Denver's doing. They got ahead of it. I think all these other cities are going to start saying, hey, this is something good. And homeowners too. You're starting to get requests from homeowners, people doing advocacy and contacting city council and other folks in the city to see what they can do about this. So I mentioned Arvada, Englewood, and other cities are following. Why they work on the Front Range, because they're affordable, smaller units. They also help the homeowner, and they're mixed into existing neighborhoods. So you're not really disrupting the neighborhood or changing the character by adding densification, and you can't see most of these units on the back of the property. So the facade of the front of the house is not getting changed. And a lot of times to find these things, you really got to look for them. Either drive down the alleys or try and be looking around the in between the houses. And in these older neighborhoods, these houses are very close together. I've got 6 feet, I think, on one side and less than 5 feet on the other side. So they're very, very close together. So it makes it more difficult to see around the main house to the back of the unit. So it's also diversifying the housing stock, adding the flexibility to the homeowner, but just adding a element of housing that we're completely missing right now and have a lack of. And that's the smaller units that are going to be more affordable than these luxury apartments that are getting built or buying homes or renting a house. Gives people a stepping stone to move up as they're start to make more money and need a place to live before they can get their own place. So we touched on Blueprint Denver, so that did pass on April 22nd. And that is part of the comprehensive 2040 plan. And there's five plans that are in that whole group of plans. And the Blueprint Denver focused on the basically zoning and mobility and that has the recommendations for ADUs in there. And so that is great. And I think I touched on spot zoning. I think using Blueprint Denver for the spot zoning could help push some of these things through. And I don't know, we'll have to see what comes to fruition when we start trying that, if it's going to be easier or not, or if the process is going to be as difficult as it has been in the past, or if it'll be more of a easier process because they know that zoning is coming. I would assume that it would be easier because they know that zoning will be changing and allowing these. So the Curtis Park pilot has been a success. It's like 10 years old now or over 10 years old. And there haven't been issues. A lot of the critics had said, oh, we're going to have massive parking problems and neighborhood disruption and different people living into these units that are overlooking our backyards. And you know, people don't like change, so they just fight change. But we've not seen the issues with parking. Curtis Park is obviously close to downtown, close to light rail, close to bus stations, and people may not even have vehicles that are living in these ADUs. They may be on foot or using the city services for transportation or Uber or Lyft. So that has not happened, but the zoning changes will come. We'll make it easier to build these things, and that is really, really exciting. There are advocacy groups out there like ADU for You. We are obviously, we educate, advocate, and build, but then we are also part of the ADU Association that we are in the process of forming right now. That's going to be really focused on advocacy, and that's going to take, the hope with that is to have a compilation of different viewpoints and different people in the process of ADUs, whether it's zoning department people, planning department people, other builders, homeowners, if they were interested in participating, real estate agents, appraisers, financing, so lenders, and have all these people collaborating together on how to push everything forward in the best way. And also to help mold these new laws that are going to be coming out and for the zoning code. We don't want the zoning department to rewrite the code without any input from builders on what the problems are and what makes things very difficult. So ideally, if we can streamline through all of this stuff with these people, it will be easier for the homeowner. Because homeowners typically are not experienced in building. They don't know all these steps. And quite frankly, many people are turned away. I've had people say it to me. I was going to do this, and then I looked into how many steps and the processes and the variances and the difficulty and the time and energy and the money that I have to spend to possibly be told, no, I can't do that, turns people away. And so when you have those barriers to entry, you're not going to get very many of them built. That's why only 24 were built last year. But I bet we significantly increased that this year in Denver. Real estate agents, they should be knowledgeable about this. They can make themselves specialists in these. And if you always just have that in the back of your mind, then you will possibly put an idea into one of your buyers that maybe they hadn't thought of. Maybe they would like a bigger house and they want income property, or maybe they didn't think about that. They want a bigger house and you can suggest an income property. So that will be a huge benefit for real estate agents to be able to have the knowledge, at least know where to go, like to contact us or the ADU Association, to be able to get information so they're educated and they can talk to their clients. And I think you're going to get, especially as more millennials start buying homes, which that trend is happening, I think you're going to have, they're more in the U economy. They're more in the thought process of having multiple levels of income or sources of income from, rather than working one job. That is obviously the whole way people work has been changing for years, but the U economy and the millennials have really taken a hold of that. And you have a lot of contract work being done and people doing multiple things to bring in income. So I think that this is already in a thought of having an income property for a lot of millennials. And as prices continue to rise, it's going to be needed to be able to get into some of these properties, just like in Vancouver, British Columbia. They call them mortgage makers. And a lot of people don't even want to see houses if they don't have a laneway house on the back of them. And we also got our meetup group, Colorado ADU. So please join that so you can follow us, show up for our meetings. We've been touring ADUs afterwards, and that's pretty exciting. You get to see one if you've never been in one. You can talk to the homeowner. And it's very educational. Plus, you're just getting involved in the movement and pushing things forward. If you know more, then you can talk to people that don't know about it or might be opposed to it because they don't know all the benefits of ADUs. So some other advocacy things that we can talk about is, this is going forward. So this is the future. This is where we need to really start working, because just because Blueprint Denver passed doesn't mean that the laws are going to get and the zoning is going to be changed. It's the best. So we want to be very involved in that process. We want to change things like development fees, permits, sewer, stormwater, water, electricity, property tax increases, and look at all these different things to be making them less restrictive. Fortunately, in Denver, we are allowed to hook up to the main house, so you don't have to do a new sewer and water tap, and that will save some money, but it still is expensive. And if they can reduce some of those barriers, permitting costs, or extend them out over a time period, that could be another alternative. I think I touched on that a little bit further down. So we'll be working hard to reshape these through our advocacy and our experts. And so, here, this is what I'm talking about. For example, the structure fees could be paid back monthly rather than a lump sum. So I can't remember what state it was. They've got, it might be in Washington or Oregon, because I think I got this from Cole, where they have a very expensive fee. I can't remember if it was a sewer fee or what it was, $15,000 or something like that, $20,000, some big fee. That's not exciting to spend your money on when you're trying to put cool finishings and make the layout really nice and work for you. So they allow that to be paid back monthly over like 15 years.
And that's the city or?
That's the city, yeah. Hmm. So then it's like a $58 a month. I think that was the number that Cole had for that example, was $58 coming out of the property. So there's a way where you're not actually eliminating or significantly cutting the cost of the permitting fees or structure fees, but you're not burdening the homeowner right on the spot. So that way they can build it and start earning some income and pay this off slowly. So that's a possible way to do that. Relaxing off-street parking requirements. So that's something that'll stop some ADUs. If the lot, like my property is 25 feet and the garage is on the property lines, there's no, if I was converting that just to a ranch style and not a garage with an apartment above it, there's no off-street parking. Now, the city of Denver is not currently requiring that for these ADUs. It is a benefit. So if you have a bigger lot and you can put a pad next to a ranch style, or if you can, and going back to that ranch style that I talked about, that one right there, he's actually pouring a pad on the front. So this sidewalk on the left side there goes out to the front gate, and there's going to be a pad where they can park. So his guests are actually parked on the property, even though there's not a garage on that. So let's see here. So yeah, relaxing off-street parking, owner occupancy rules as well. That could be something that would hinder ADU development. And obviously you have to be an owner occupant for short-term rentals in Denver, but if these can be rental units, I don't see that that's an issue and going to cause problems if both of them are rental units. So we plan on being integral in policy handbook and simplification of the code and the process for the homeowner. So it'd be really nice to have a simple document that shows you the steps and doesn't use zoning language and legal language that homeowners don't understand, and make it simple to read, maybe with some pictures, and make it a very simple thing for them to go through so they can say, okay, I want to build an ADU. What's the first step? Well, everybody that's been watching these should know your first step is to check your zoning before you do anything. So check your zoning. How do you check your zoning? Do you go to an architect? Do you check with the city? Obviously, you can go onto the city's website and put in your address and you can get that. But if you don't know exactly what those codes mean, or you have a hard time reading what the codes are, that could limit your understanding. So simplification of this for the homeowner is going to dramatically increase the amount of these getting built. And then track these metrics. So they've been doing this up in Oregon and Vancouver, tracking the metrics to make sure the policy and the program is working and ADU development is increasing. So all these things that we're talking about, make sure that it's increasing because you are not over-restricting parking or owner occupancy rules or any of the zoning issues. And so we might not get it right. I'm sure there will be some issues that come out of the new zoning code the first time. Well, let's make sure we're watching that and we're identifying all those issues. If it's a repeat issue, we can go back to the city again and say, and this has happened in current zoning code. Sometimes they write one section that contradicts another section and they don't really realize it because the zoning code is so thick. So if you point that out, hey, this doesn't make sense because you allow this over here, or you don't allow this over here and you allow it over here. If you point that out, a lot of times we can get those rewritten. So I'm sure that there's going to be some hiccups after the new zoning code comes out that won't be completely clean. But if we are tracking that and understanding and collecting the data on what is causing the issues, then we can go back and implement those changes to make it increased ADU building. Financing and education and appraisal education. So we need to get banks up to speed. They need to get comfortable with being able to lend on these. They need to be, comfortable with income coming in. And that will dramatically help. So we're getting some good comps like in the Curtis Park area. So I actually just talked to Cassidy Benson last week, and she had mentioned that they had a house with an ADU that they thought was going to appraise for, I think, like 800. So they were basically counting about 50% of the build cost for the ADU, which is about what we're saying right now. And then the house, so the full price on the house, and then about 50% of the build price. And that's what they thought they were going to get it. And the appraisal came in like $100,000 more. I don't remember the exact number, but it was up there right in line with getting you the value. And so that's already happening. And we haven't really passed any laws. We haven't gotten a lot of financing and appraisals up to speed on this. So that's exciting. That's already happening, but we definitely need banks to be comfortable. They need to be able to take at least the long-term rental potential and use that towards your loan application. And then the appraisals need to come up as well. And it's comp-based, and we've gotten two totally different opinions on appraisals. Some are saying you count it as square footage on the main house, and then another one was saying you don't count it as square footage on the main house, and you never count it as additional square footage to the main house. So two different approaches. So that proves to you right there that the appraisal industry is not up to speed with each other. And then changing the single family zoning to match the demand, and that's the demand that I talked about, with 68% on average out of 917 cities with 10,000 more people that Cole Peterson studied, said that is 68% of single family zoning, but only 25 to 33% is needed. So there's a need for single family zoning of 25 to 33%, but we are offering 68%. So we're way over zoned for single family right now. And I know this scares a lot of homeowners, that especially the NIMBYs and people that have been in their neighborhood for a long time, about it changing their zoning, and they're stuck in their single family, you know, neighborhoods, and they want them to remain like that. But I don't think the future, we can't have the future look like that. There's too many people moving into the city, and it's not just our city. A lot of cities are having the same issues that we are. A lot of people are moving in, and we got to meet the demand. And if the demand is 33% and we're providing 68%, we are way over meeting one demand. And I don't know those numbers, which I should, on the other side of people that are looking for that type of unit. But 25 to 33%, I don't know. Maybe you say half people are looking for smaller units. I don't know
a stat on that one.
It'd be a good study to find out that, where, you know, a lot of micro units are getting built. So the industry is building to smaller units. I think that the millennials especially don't want to have these gigantic properties that they've got to maintain. They're more interested in experiences and exploring and traveling than things. So having a small unit that doesn't take all your money is a good way to go. So Blueprint Denver, that's passed, which is really exciting. It's just the beginning now to start writing the new rules and make ADU development hopefully go through a big boom. And we do have a meetup group that I mentioned, Colorado ADU Backyard Property Investors. And our next meetup is going to be on June 11th. And that is in Arvada. And it's going to be at Los Tres Garcias Restaurant overlooking Hidden Lake. And we are going to be touring an ADU after that, and it is this ranch ADU that we will be going and looking at. And the owner is fantastic and is really excited about this movement and getting involved and helping advocate, and he may be potentially working with us in the future because he's so excited about it. So please join us. It's great place to network. We, at our last one, we had our architect there, try and get our general contractors to show up, plus all the ADU for you folks will be there to answer questions. Other experts have been showing up as well. People, other builders and other architects and whatnot, appraisers, been showing up. So it's a good place to talk to all these people and keep all the ideas flowing. And this is our contact information for you, for ADU for you. And yeah, I think the future is really good. I'm really excited. I think that we are going to see a big boom in these. We're going to see a lot of really cool, creative spaces being built. create a lot of flexibility for homeowners. And I think that this is going to push out to all the metro area because everyone's got a housing crisis right now.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about all this stuff. And you know, just kind of recap things since we're finishing up our 9-part series on ADUs now. One of the goals of this was to make someone to learn about ADUs cool. Come listen to these 9-part series and really get a good understanding, overview of what you need to do, and give you some resources so you can start the process to figure out if an ADU is right for you. Now, going forward, obviously, there's a lot of changes coming, and I'm sure they'll come in spurts where some change happens, some doesn't, but there's definitely being more ADUs built and more attention on there. So as things develop out there, or some good case studies pop up, or some new experts we come in contact with in this space they know about, we'll do some future episodes around those topics as well. So make sure you stay tuned in to the podcast channel here, the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, or the website, and you'll be seeing future ADU episodes on there. Jeff, just thank you for doing all this. I know it's a lot of work. I know the advocacy is a lot of work as well, but I appreciate it, and so do our listeners.
Yeah, thanks so much. And speaking of advocacy, there's going to be a city council hearing up in Erie. They're trying to put in a big development up there and get ADUs going. And it was on the way to having everything work out. And I guess there's been some members that have changed over in the city council and they're opposed to this. So now we're battling. So one of our upcoming advocacy efforts will be going to testify to city council in Erie.
Oh, cool.
And that's going to be, I don't have the exact date yet. I just got contacted from a gentleman that was at our last meetup. So see, if coming to our meetups, you can get some good information. And he reached out to me after that meetup and was like, hey, would you guys come and do this? It would be great to have an expert panel, talk to city council and talk about all this information. And he's really excited and he wants to build a lot of these small units. And Erie's not super busy and tight like Denver necessarily, but it's still another big growing market. They're building
a lot of houses up there. Yep.
And yes, they've got the space to do it, but let's build smart. Let's offer more opportunities for housing. Let's give homeowners this flexibility. Housing prices are ridiculous in Colorado, and those aren't going to go down, but you can do things to supplement your income and make your house become a business and work for you by having a rental property on site. Another thing, speaking of advocacy, is people are afraid of having rental units in the back of these in the backyard. They're like, I don't want a rental. I don't want a tenant next to me. But if you think about it, you have tenants next to you, most likely in every single neighborhood that are being rented to, and you may not even know it. So what is the difference? The big difference is the homeowner lives in the front house and has more control. And so you're probably going to get better tenants and better results from that. So that argument doesn't really sit well because the homeowner is going to make sure that they have a better tenant than, you know, a landlord that lives out of state and just has a rental house.
Oh, they care, yeah.
So especially a lot of these are sharing the backyard space. I mean, a lot of these people that are doing short terms on these are enjoying their guests. They're hanging out in the backyard around the fire pit. And it's kind of a cool experience. And maybe it's not for everybody because that is definitely more work to be a short-term renter or a short-term rental unit. But some people are like, man, this is great. I've always wanted to have a bed and breakfast and really treat people with some nice hospitality and invite them into our space. And before ADUs were being used for this, people have been doing this in their house, which I probably would not be one to rent a room in my house just because I like my privacy in my house. But if you have an apartment on the back of your property, then that eliminates that issue. So yeah, that's all I think I got. If you have any other comments or questions, we can answer those.
No, I don't. I mean, we've done a lot of in-depth talking about ADUs here. So if you guys have questions, definitely go back, re-listen to the other episodes, plug in some resources, and keep your eyes out for future episodes as we dive into future case studies and updates to what's going on in Denver and various cities around Denver as well. So Jeff, thank you. Everyone out there listening, thank you as well. If you got questions, comments, feedback, whatever, let us know. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks guys. Bye-bye.